Hey, this is Cam. Thanks for listening to Awakening Church's message of the week.
So let's do this. We're gonna do similar to what we did last week, in that I'm gonna let you look up some scripture, and we'll use different translations tonight, and then we're gonna jump into this, and then we're gonna worship really hard tonight. Okay, we're gonna go deep in the Word, and we're gonna go deep really fast, and then we're gonna worship really hard. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right. Let me do this. Somebody go to Mark chapter 4, verse 11, and then somebody else go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Okay? And I don't care what translation on that one. And then somebody go to Mark 4, 22 through 24, Amplified version. If you're using digital, go to the Amplified version. Okay? So Mark 4, 11. Who's got Mark 4:11? Just raise your hand. Diana's got Mark 4:11. Matthew 13:11. Who's got that? Rachel? Alyssa's got that. Okay. Alyssa's got Matthew 13:11. And then Mark 4:22 through 24 Amplified. Who's got it? Rebecca's got that. Okay. Cool. All right. Let me say this. Okay. All right. Revival is the manifestation of Jesus. And if we're going to live in a place of sustained revival or manifestation of Jesus, we have to know the culture of where he is and bring that culture to earth so that when he comes, he's comfortable enough to stay. Okay? So let me say that again. Revival, what we're longing for, revival is not that we get more decisions. Revival is not that there's an increase of miracles. Those are byproducts of revival. Revival is the manifestation of Jesus. And if we want sustained revival or a sustained manifestation of Jesus, then what we have to do is we have to learn, become acquainted with the culture of heaven and bring that to earth. That's actually what he meant when he said to pray in the model prayer, which I don't call it the Lord's Prayer anymore. Do you know why I don't call it the Lord's Prayer anymore? Because in that prayer, he teaches his disciples to repent from sin. And Jesus never sinned. It is the model prayer. Just a little bit about the way I think around that stuff, okay? His prayer is John 17. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, where he's praying, make them one as we are one, okay? So that's the beauty of that. But bringing heaven to earth and learning how to function in that culture is so important. And understanding Jesus, his personality, his demeanor, and how he would respond is connected to Mary and his response to Mary at his first miracle, which was turning water into wine at Cana of Galilee. Okay? Now, who's got Mark 11? Who said that? Diana, you've got that, right?
Mark
4:11. Yeah, go ahead. Read that out loud, please. Okay, and then who's got Matthew 13:11? Alyssa, go ahead.
And Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted.
So good. So Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he uses this word mystery, and he's talking about this word because they keep asking him, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you saying things that are not just plain that I can understand right here, right now? Okay? And everything that you just text me is a mystery in scripture, right? Because if there were a clear, distinct, black and white answer, then you would know what that is, you would understand it, because it would be so clear, okay? So I want to talk to you about this word mystery, okay? And if you've been around me for any length of time, you've heard me speak about this word a little bit, but for those of you that haven't, this will be a little new for you, okay? Mystery and what it means to be hidden is so important. So you have to understand that it is a mystery and that it is hidden, okay? What he's telling the disciples is, listen, I'm speaking in parables on purpose, but it's granted to you to know the mystery of these parables. How did he explain the mystery of the parables? Does anybody know? Come on, besides Rebecca, she's looking. Look, she knows. She knows that I've told her, listen, you can't answer every question. So... Huh? He did. He explained the seed and the sower parable. Yeah. That's how we know. It's actually like a map key. You know how you have a key at the bottom of the map? That's what the parable of the seed and the sower is to the other parables of Jesus. So there are connections that are woven throughout that parable that he explains to them so that they can understand the rest of his parables. Are you with me? Yeah. Is this okay? Y'all aren't bored, right? Yeah. We're good? Okay. All right. So whatever is hidden or is a mystery in the Bible is hidden in plain sight. Okay? It's hidden in plain sight. Jesus never hides something from us to tease us. Okay? He will play hide and seek with revelation, but it's hide and seek like what you played with your kids, where you stick your foot out and you say, "You got to come find me." And you see their foot because you're trying to find them. Unless you're like my mom, and then you hide them in the closet where you really can't find them. And then, you know, I'm joking. I said that because I watched her lean over and say something to my daughter, and I know her, and so that's why I did it. I was ready. So it's hidden in plain sight, okay? Mystery is hidden in plain sight, okay? Plain sight means it's hidden to those who have common gaze or natural eyes, okay? This is what I tell my beautiful daughter all the time. You are hidden to anybody that has common gaze. They can't even see you. You understand what I'm saying? Because there will be the one who has eyes that are worthy of my daughter and your daughter and all the daughters in the room. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying that because that's my daughter and that's how I raised her. Yeah. To understand that you absolutely, before you even know how to be Proverbs 31, that's who you are. And that you will be a treasure to be found, okay? And so the mystery is this word, mysterion, which means hidden from natural eyes, okay? Mysterion doesn't mean hidden from natural eyes. It kind of does. But the mystery, mysterion, literally is what Jesus did. He hid things from natural eyes, okay? So when Jesus tells the disciples that he has been given, that it has been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, he uses this word mysterion, and here's the picture that is used for that word, okay? It gives a picture of a formal rite of initiation or a rite of passage to a select group of people for the purpose of revealing something that was hidden from those who were not initiated. Okay, that's a long thing, but did you catch it or do I need to repeat it? Okay, so it gives the picture of a formal rite of initiation or a rite of passage to a select group of people for the purpose of revealing something that was hidden from those who were not initiated. It does not denote an unknowable thing, but something that is withdrawn from knowledge or manifestation and cannot be known without a special manifestation or revelation. So when he says that to them, he's saying, I'm actually inviting you into an initiation to understand the depth of what I'm saying, and other people don't get this insight, but you get it, okay? Now, here's the beauty of it. If he gave it to them, he gives it to us, which if you read those scriptures and you go on just a couple more verses, what Diana and Alyssa read, you see that he says, here's the ability to be able to understand some things, and it's based on your ability to comprehend, okay? So who has Mark 4:22 Amplified Version? Who's got that? Oh, okay. No, Amplified 4:20. You did 4:11. 22-24.
Okay. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear by your own standard of measurement. That is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom. It will be measured to you, and you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides.
Okay, read the first sentence again, please. Okay, so what is he saying right there? You understand what I'm saying based on a standard of measurement. What connects that standard of measurement? How do I understand Scripture? Okay. My goodness, Revelation's complete. It's incomplete. I'm joking. Go ahead. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord.
Nothing is hidden except to be revealed.
There we go.
Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it would come to light. That is, things are hidden only temporarily until the appropriate time comes for them to be known. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed the words. Pay attention to what you hear by your own standards of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and find other wisdom.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. That's okay. So he says whatever's hidden is temporary. I wanted you to hear that. And then I also wanted you to hear that there's a standard of measurement. How do you understand Scripture? How do you understand Scripture? Say it.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Exactly. What happens is sometimes we will attempt to understand Scripture through a standard of measurement that is academic, that is intellectual, that is not connected to Holy Spirit. And I will tell you that being a young man and having studied the word for a long, long time, I actually knew how to use it as a weapon when I was steeped in religion and not connected to love. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, which becomes the standard of measurement, that we begin to understand things, okay? So that's one of the things that we talk about a lot here, is that we actually have relationship with the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth, okay? And so that's so, so important. And so what Jesus is saying here is there is a standard of measurement by which you can understand the mysteries, but he also acknowledges that there are mysteries, right? Mm-hmm. How many of you have ever studied, and you're just like, I can't understand this, right? All of us have. All of us have done that, right? And so what has to happen is we have to adjust the standard of measurement based on the relationship that we have with him and the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, so I'm not going to go super deep into the rest of this, because I want to talk a little bit about the wedding at Cana of Galilee, which is what we talked about a while ago, what Heather said. Jesus' first miracle was what?
Water.
Turning water into wine. He's at a wedding. Where's it found? Huh? No. It's Scripture. Yeah, New Testament, that's good. That's good.
In the Bible.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John?
John, not one, but two. Two. Okay? It's important, guys. It's important that you know the address of these scriptures. Do you know why it's important? Because there's preachers that will get up and preach from the book of Hezekiah. Go find the book of Hezekiah. It ain't there. There's preachers that'll get up and well, never mind. It doesn't matter what preachers will do. But anyway, it's important for you to know the word and know the address. Okay? Know where it's at. Now, that's not a requirement. I'm not like, you're not cool if you don't know it. I'm just saying, if you study it, you're going to know it, and it's going to matter to you. Oh, Jesus' name. My Bible's falling apart. And it's driving me crazy. Help me, Lord. That is, okay, all right, wedding Cana of Galilee, Jesus goes, this is actually one of my favorite portions of Scripture, which is another reason I chose it tonight, when she said that, but I had no idea she was going to send it, okay, do what, I don't know, I wasn't supposed to tell them that, I did it, John chapter 2, Jesus goes to the wedding. And there's such prophetic significance about this, okay? So it's the first miracle that he does. And when he goes to the wedding, they run out of wine. Jesus is approached by Mary. Mary goes to him and says, they've run out of wine. They need you. And what does he say? It's not my time. Woman, it's not my time. And what does this have to do with me? And how does Mary respond?
Do whatever he says.
Why? would Mary respond that way? Exactly. It really is connected to relational equity. Relational equity. Now, there was another one that came through. Why did Jesus wait 30 years to come out in his ministry? I think that that's interesting, and we could kind of tie these two together. I believe that he's the fulfillment of Galatians chapter 5, chapters 4 and 5, which are what? That the slave and the heir are no different until the heir comes to maturity and is under guardians and stewards that prepare him or her to become the heir and handle it. Why is that important? Because what do we teach all the time? He will not crush you with the weight of inheritance, which is why maturity is so important and why maturity is lacking in the body of Christ, which we've talked about across the board, right? Okay, are y'all still with me? We're not bored? We're good? Okay. All right, I want to make sure. So why did Jesus wait? I believe that he was waiting to come into a place of maturity. I believe that he was functioning as the Messiah the whole time in Mary's house. I also believe that Mary held the word of the Lord that came to her when the angel said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will, it's the word episkiazo, and it actually means literally to have a beam of light overshadow you. It's the same word that was used when Peter's shadow was healing people, okay? It's the word episkiazo, okay? And so Mary holds this in her heart. She also knows Jesus has a love for people and he has a love for her. There's another instance in Scripture where we see a manifestation of Jesus before he even comes to the earth. When is that? Don't answer, Rebecca. Say it again.
Old Testament.
In the Old Testament, yeah, good. But where in the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about the many manifestations of the angel of the Lord. I'm talking about there's literally a reference. Huh? No, not Melchizedek. The three Hebrew boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar leans over into the furnace and says, I know I put three in there, but there's four, and there is one who looks like the Son of Man, which we know that's a direct reference to Jesus. So why would he show up early there and for Mary when he says, it's not my time, and she responds immediately? I can just imagine she probably had a smile on her face when he responded to her and turns around and says, just do whatever he says. Because she knew he was actually going to do it. Okay? Here's the way that I teach this. If you know him well enough and you need him bad enough, he'll show up early. If you know him well enough and you need him bad enough, he'll show up early. He showed up early for the Hebrew boys. He showed up early for Mary. Okay? Now, there's tons of prophetic significance based just on, and I'm not going to go deep into this, but the water pots that the water was in and what he told them to do to get the water pots and to pour them, all that. There's prophetic significance about Jewish culture, about washing, about a new wineskin, about Jews and Gentiles. All of that is wrapped up into that scripture that we can't unpack tonight, okay? But what happens is this is Jesus' coming out party. And I believe what he was doing was coming to this party, to this wedding, wondering, is there faith that will actually unlock my ability to do what is needed in the moment? And so Mary says, whatever he says, do it. Now, here's the beauty of this scripture beyond that, okay? And I'm sure that there are follow-up questions to that, and I would welcome those. But here's the beauty. The very next verse, right after he turns water into wine, the Bible says that he manifested his glory and the disciples believed him. Why did it not say he performed a miracle and the disciples believed him? Okay. Yeah. Is there somebody else have another idea around that? That's my baby right there. That word, glory, in the Greek is the word doxa, D-O-X-A. And it, about the third definition of that word means view or opinion or perspective. Why is that important? He manifested the way that he saw the situation and the disciples believed him. He never saw water. He always saw wine. He doesn't see defeat. He only sees dominion. He doesn't have the ability to see me even in my fallen state. Ryan, how can you say that? Because before he formed me in my mother's womb, he knew me. And he ordained me to have a hope and a future and a purpose. And that is the way that he sees me. That is his perspective. How do we obtain that perspective? That's what I believe Mary had. Mary already had the perspective of seeing him be Messiah at home. And so she pulls on that. He manifests his glory or his perspective of the situation. And now the disciples believe him because their perspective has changed, right? So the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the perspective of God. Why does he tell us to come up here instead of bringing everything down here? Because when I get higher, I have a different perspective. It causes things to look different. And so the invitation has always been to come up higher because it changes our perspective. Okay, are you with me? So the disciples, after he manifests his perspective of the situation, they sit back and they're like, this dude really is legit. He really is the Messiah. He really is. And I can just imagine Mary walking away, and we don't have scripture for this, but just go with me, walking away and say, I told you. It's what I told you, okay? But all of that is wrapped in mystery. All of that is wrapped in mystery, okay? Now, I'm not going to go any deeper into mystery tonight, but I would encourage you to read Philippians chapter 4, okay? And specifically, Philippians chapter 4, starting around verse 11, okay? And I'm just going to give you the highlight, and then we're going to love Jesus, and we're going to ask for his perspective, okay? Paul says, he's talking to them, and he's asking for something from the people at Philippi. Okay? And he says, I'm not asking you because I have a need. And he says, I know how to be content whether I have nothing or I have abundance. And the word he uses there is so beautiful. He said that the actual word in the Greek is, I've learned the secret. And if you break it all the way down and tie it to what I said, I've learned the secret to be initiated into seeing things the way that he sees them, through the mystery. Okay? So I would encourage you to read that, do a little study on that. Here's what I want to say. Salvation is free. The gift of the Father is free. It costs something to get his perspective. That's where we fight. That's where we battle. That's why he had already been walking with the disciples for a while. But it wasn't until he manifested his perspective that they believed it. Because perspective costs something. It costs something to be in the middle of what we would call hell, whether it's a trial or a battle or whatever we might be in. It costs something to get a different perspective around that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Anybody been in the middle of some junk? And all you can see is what's swirling around you. All you can see are the weapons and the arrows and all of the things. And sometimes it dominates your conversation when you're just processing. Sometimes it dominates your thought process. because you don't know how to get out of that because it's what you see with your natural eyes. And I'm telling you that the secret of the Lord, Psalm 25:14, is with those who fear him. Those who have the intimate relationship with him, he has pillow talk that he wants to release to you. And he has secrets that he wants to give to you. And every one of those secrets cause you to have a different perspective. I remember when my kids were younger, and specifically like when Haley was in middle school, and these boys would come around, and they would come up and they'd be like, I just shook your dad. I was talking about it earlier. I just shook your dad's hand. He about broke my hand. Or, man, your dad is so intimidating. And Haley would be like, no, he's not. What are you talking about? Why could she say that? Because she had a completely different perspective than other people did. And what I'm saying is, you may be seeing the fight. You may be looking right down the barrel. And I'm telling you, that is just one perspective. There is another perspective. And he is calling us higher. And I believe that Mary had 30 years of different perspective. I believe she had 30 years. And I believe the whole thing played out exactly the way that he wanted it to. And I actually don't believe when he said woman that it was something that was derogatory. We can't read the scripture that was written so many years ago like it was written in Louisville 2025. There were different cultural connotations. There were all kinds of things. And I believe it was one of the first skits, dramatic skits that we see sometimes in church. Anybody ever been a part of a drama team who did a skit? You know, you got to bow out. They walked to the wedding and they bowed out and then they came together. They've run out of wine. What does that wine have to do with me? It's just my imagination, my opinion. But I believe it played out so that the mystery could be revealed to the disciples. This dude is different. This guy's different. And the wine at the party, watch this, it was not just as good as the first wine. Let me give you another connection. The old covenant is not nearly as good as the new covenant wine. It always exceeds it. And they told the king, or they told the person that was holding the wedding, you saved the best for last. That's what I want to tell you. That's the moment that we're in right now. Even if you're going through something, even if you're going through difficulty, first of all, it's not over. And he saved the best for last. He saved the best for last. I could tie so much of that together with replacement theology, all of that stuff, and talk about the different covenants and all of that. And we'll do that at some point and some of the other things. But I believe that the key was getting somebody other than Mary to see from the perspective of Jesus. And that's what happened. He revealed a mystery to them. He initiated them and then spent 3.5 years continuing that initiation to help them.
Thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.